Good morning, everybody. I'd like to welcome everybody. We've got a number of visitors with us. We're very glad that you came to worship with us. And like Dick was saying earlier, we don't even count the Lunsfords anymore. You know, I'm expecting to see your picture on the board to walk by. But anyway, we're glad that you're here to worship with us. You know, we just mentioned Barbara. With age comes some natural aches and pains and so forth. But I'm sure if we each had a notebook, we could probably start listing a whole bunch of complaints. You know, not only physical, but things that are going on at work, strife and struggles with people, maybe how we're feeling, how we're not feeling, maybe some financial stress and strain. I've joked before, I've never had money problems. I've had calendar problems. I've had more days in the calendar before payday shows up. We could all come up with a whole list of things that we could complain about. Some of it legitimate, and some of it totally just drummed up in our own minds. My dad used to say, don't worry about stuff because most of it doesn't come true, and you always pay interest on that worry. You always pay interest on it. Today, I want us to focus on the flip side of that coin. I know we could all make a list of things that maybe we have some legitimate concerns, gripes, worries about. But I want us today to focus on to be thankful. It's an attitude. It's a mindset ahead of time that you're going to be thankful. I'm reminded of Daniel in the first chapter of Daniel, I think Daniel 1:7, where it said Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. You know, being thankful a lot of times is that purposeful attitude in your heart, to have that attitude of thanks. Our scripture reading that Micah read earlier to us was taken from Psalm 100, verse 4, and it reads, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name." It doesn't say enter into his gates with a bunch of gripes and concerns and oh, woe is me's, and into his courts blaming everybody for why their life is miserable. It doesn't say that. It says enter into his gates with thanksgiving, with praise, thankful to him, and bless his name. We could make an endless list in our own lives of things that we're thankful for. If we sat down, I mean, there's no doubt there's some things that if we had the magic wand, we'd change. There's no argument about that. But the attitude of looking at our life and being thankful for the things. These are in no special order. One of the things that we can be thankful for is today. Thankful for today. Don't know if we'll have tomorrow, but we can be thankful for today. And when we think about it, not everybody was blessed with today. There was a lot of people that went to bed last night that didn't get to have today. And we were given that opportunity. We were given that blessing. We've been given one more day to do better. That we don't have to be the same old person we've always been. We've been given another chance. And we've been given more opportunities to serve. Hebrews 3, verse 13 reads, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." We've got today. Don't know if we'll have tomorrow, but today, let's utilize what we've been given and blessed with as opportunities to serve. Galatians 6:10, a verse we've used and others have used many times here at South Valley. Paul would write, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith." It says, as we have opportunity, I have found for me only, it's not so much that I'm lacking opportunities. I sometimes lack the vision to see the opportunities. And Paul is saying, as we have opportunity, there's no shortage of them. No shortage of opportunities in our life. We just have to see them. We just have to take advantage of them. And then it says, let us do good to all. Not be selective. Do good to all. Especially to those who are of the household of faith. Another thing that we can be thankful for is our health. Oh, but you don't know, I'm down in my back. Maybe. But you know what? God's given us a measure of health. God has given us, if you're down in your back, you weren't always down in your back. If you're not feeling good, you haven't always not been feeling good. There's always somebody worse off. And I thank God for the health that God has given me so far. If it all comes crashing down today, you know what? For 66, almost 67 years, He's blessed me with some pretty good health. And I thank God for the things that I've still got. The opportunities, the health, the measure of health that I have. Could I list a few physical complaints? Absolutely. Okay. If you didn't have physical complaints, what would you have done, Rick, in your career? You would have been out of a career. But Rick was a physical therapist. But we thank God with what we've got. In 2 Corinthians, Paul kind of puts it into perspective. He's saying, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" We see a couple of things in this passage. We don't know exactly what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. We kind of assume through some other passages that it was maybe his eyesight, possibly from the beatings, or maybe from that big flash of light he saw on the road to Damascus. We're told not to look in the sun. But whatever that thorn in the flesh was that limited him, He prayed to God. Praying to God, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with praying to God for things going on in our life, but also having that attitude, God's will be done, and I'm going to serve him regardless of the circumstance. Paul's response to that prayer was, you're good. You're good how you are. My grace is sufficient for you. You can deal with whatever it is you're dealing with. And Paul did. Paul kept right on, didn't miss a beat. He served God to the best of his abilities with what abilities he was given. God has given us, and we should be thankful for them, for our talents and our abilities. We've got a room full of people in here with different abilities. Some of us are able to do certain things very well. Others of us are able to do other things very well. We have the ability to have a job and to provide for our families. Now, are there headaches sometimes with that job? Absolutely. Sometimes we have to endure it for years, right, Diane? Got to endure things for years, but God's given us that job. They call it work for a reason. It's not like we're going to, you know, see you later, honey, I'm going to play. They call it going to work. We have different abilities, not only in the secular world, but here in God's kingdom. To be able to serve God, to be able to serve each other and the congregation. Paul addresses that issue in his letter to the Romans. In Romans 12, verse 6, he's saying, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, and it seems like the key to this verse is, let us use them. One issue is that we do have different gifts and abilities, but the key, let us use them. Who cares what you have the talent for if you don't use them? If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. And that key is, we're all different people. Some of us are able to do things, accomplish things, reach people that others may not be able to. The key is, let us use those abilities. We see Jesus addressing this issue in his ministry in Matthew 25 in the parable of the talents. How in this parable, the master had given three different people different amounts to work with. Not unlike us. And at the end of this parable, in verse 21, the ones that used it, the ones that followed after Paul's advice, it says, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Isn't that what we want to be hearing at the end? We all want to be hearing that, well done, good and faithful servant. That's our goal, is on that great and glorious day to hear those words, good job. You've hung in there, you fought the fight, you've kept the faith. And then the example in this parable of the person that did not use, wasn't that they weren't given things. They didn't use them. We see in verse 26 how the Lord had called them, you wicked and lazy servant. Wow. That's strong. I would much rather be called, well done, good and faithful servant, rather than you wicked and lazy servant. The only difference was they used them or they didn't. We can thank God that we've been given some abilities. We've been given opportunities. We've been given today to use them. And the last I'd like to close out with, we've been given purpose. God has given us purpose. There are a lot of people that seem that I'm sure you probably see neighbors, people at work that are just drifting aimlessly through life, have no goals, no sense of purpose. They're just kind of going day by day. Our purpose, and we have one as Christians, our purpose is to serve God. We've been given a purpose, and we should be thankful that we have something to focus on. Solomon summed it up very well in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. It all sums up to that. Our purpose is to fear God and keep his commandments. If we do that, we can hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Jesus gave the apostles, and hence us also, purpose in his great commission. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. That gave them a purpose. That gave them a reason to get up the next day. That gives us, our purpose is no different than this, to go and make disciples of people, to teach them not only in word, but modeling that behavior also. Now, I'd like to close out with what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:16. He says, let your light, you can't shine somebody else's light. They can't shine your light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Amen.
We've been given that purpose to let our light shine, and by doing that, others will see it. And that the end result will be they will glorify God through what we do. That they can see and hear a message sometimes just by us shining our light, whether we say a word or not. I'm sure we could all make lists, but let's make the lists of being thankful. Thankful for this, thankful for that. And every one of us, I'm sure, would go through reams and reams of paper when we really thought about what God has done for us. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you need prayers, if you need to be baptized, if you need to repent of sin, whatever you need, please come forward. Let your needs be known while Kurt leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand together and sing.